As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Ho ho! Okay! We have something. We have the Washington Wizards actually making a move for a basketball player, and not just a move for a basketball player, but one move that is really a million moves. They made a million moves. This trade is exhausting. It's This trade is just massive. It's absolutely huge. I mean, even just the reporting process of finding out the second rounders and verifying the second rounders that were part of the deal, it's just absolutely wild. The nut graph, as we like to say in journalism, is the Wizards have finalized the Spencer Dinwiddie trade. They are ready to go. They've agreed with Dinwiddie on a three-year, $62 million deal. He is going to be looped into the Russell Westbrook sign-in trade, which is going to become, it was a three-team deal, including the Lakers, the Wizards, and Indiana. And now it's going to be a five-team deal that adds in the Nets and the Spurs. Before I introduce the ridiculously long list of characters in this trade, I'm going to introduce my one character who I have patiently waiting on the Skype line from Washington football team training camp, taking the time to join me on Skype. Is, you guys know him, Ben Standick.
Hi, Ben Standick, first time caller. So in full tradition of what I'm known for on this podcast, with focusing on the most minutia thing, we're doing this now because they just made this big trade. There's lots to discuss, all that. But in between, in the 5 minutes in between Fred and I talking on the phone saying, can we do this now? Okay. And then getting set up, I noticed the Wizards released their summer league roster. I don't know. Usef Sanan is on this roster.
I know.
What? How did this happen? I just Googled it. Did the Rockets release him? I can't find anything about this. Are there two of him? Is there another guy named Usef Sanan? What is happening here?
I had the same reaction as you. And Ben, I hate to disappoint you, but I've kind of had some more important things to hit people up about in the last 30 minutes. I haven't had a chance to check in on the huge Usef Sanan news.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know what to tell you about your priorities.
How pissed are you, Justin Robinson's not there?
Well, then there's that. The other component is you tweeted out a roster earlier of the Wizards team. You didn't include Cassius Winston, which is reasonable because he's not on the roster. He's a two-way guy, which is, of course, the point I made a year ago. They should have drafted the new Usef Sanan, because then they're giving up the second round pick, because Cassius Winston, unfortunately, probably not going to stick around. Odds are he's not going to. Anyway, so nobody cares. I just needed to get that out of the way, because these are things I worry about. But there's bigger fish. Even I can see that this time.
I would have said, what are the chances that Usef Sanan and Cassius Winston would come up in this podcast Bradley Beal or Spencer Dinwiddie or Russell Westbrook. I would have said that if I hadn't met you, but I've met you. So yeah.
Well, there you go.
Don't say that. All right. So I don't know, but Ben, this trade kind of just went down. Normally I write, I think things out, and then we pod super late at night, but we're doing the opposite order right now. We're podcasting before I write. And like, this is going to be a very raw podcast. Neither of us really have our thoughts together on this, although we've been waiting for the Wizards to put this thing together and seeing exactly how it will come together. I mean, they agreed with Dinwiddie on the money pretty quickly into free agency. Free agency began on Monday night, and they agreed with Dinwiddie pretty quickly into free agency. The number is actually... I mean, I know people were reporting the numbers a couple of days ago, the 3 for 62. The reason why you get to that number is because if you loop Westbrook, if you loop Dinwiddie into the sign-in trade, he can start with a $19.5 million salary. Well, $19.6 million salary. And if he starts with a $19.6 million salary and you give him the maximum amount of weight of raises over 3 years, you get 3 years and $62 million. And that's how the Wizards and Dinwiddie get to that number. And that's how they get to it so quickly. As long as he was going to be part of the Westbrook sign-in trade and the Wizards weren't going to be giving up more money, that was the maximum amount of money they could include with Dinwiddie along with the guys they were getting back in the Westbrook trade so that they could legally make a trade where salary matches and all that kind of stuff. So that's how you get to the Dinwiddie salary. And then they were just basically working from there. If they weren't going to include him in the Westbrook sign-in trade, which that the number one priority, the numbers one, two, and three priorities were always to do that. But if they were unable to do that, we might be seeing a different contract. But that's how you end up seeing that Dinwiddie contract, and that's why the numbers are what they are. The Wizards have wanted to get this done. They've spent basically 48 hours or damn close to it trying to negotiate a sign-in trade to make this thing happen. I wrote a story with Danny LaRue on Tuesday morning about, you know, why it's taken so long. And then it took another basically 24 plus hours after that for this thing to go down because they had to jump through so many hoops to put together the sign-in trade. Ben, should I just read off what all five of these teams get? Or should we just hit on the basics? Should I read off everything just to say how ridiculous this is?
I think you should. I got 90 minutes to kill. Let's go for it.
Okay, great. So this is the Russell Westbrook trade is not finalized yet. It will finalize on Friday. And that's why they were able to make it part of this. So, five teams. Wizards receive Spencer Dinwiddie on a 3-year, $62 million deal. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope from the Lakers. Montrezl Harrell from the Lakers. Kyle Kuzma from the Lakers. Aaron Holiday from the Pacers. And the number one and the rights to the number 31 pick in the draft, Isaiah Todd. The Nets receive the most favorable of Memphis's or Washington's 2024 second-round pick. A second round 2025 pick swap where they could either get Washington's or Golden State's second round pick and an $11.5 million trade exception. The Spurs receive Chandler Hutchison as well as the most favorable of Chicago's, the Lakers, or Detroit's 2022 second round pick. And that's coming from the Wizards. The Wizards previously owned that. The reason the Wizards had to dump Hutchison in the deal was because that Dinwiddie salary actually sent them approximately $4 million over the luxury tax, and Hutchison makes $4 million. So in order for them to get back under the luxury tax by just a tad, they had to find somebody to take Hutchison, and that's how the Spurs end up coming in the deal. The Spurs are sending someone the draft rights to some foreign player, I have from sources. I don't know who the player is. No one is, to my knowledge, no one has reported who the player is as of the time we're recording this. And I don't know who the player is yet, but I know there is a draft rights player, the rights to a foreign player. Ben, I feel like this is the report that you were meant to break. Like you, this is you. I don't know where that player is going, but I know the Spurs are sending them someone because when this trade gets reported, I'm like, well, the Spurs got to send someone something. The Lakers are receiving Russell Westbrook, the least favorable of Washington's or Memphis's 2024 second round pick, as well as Washington's 2028 second round pick. And the Pacers are receiving the number 22 pick in this year's draft, Isaiah Jackson. And that is your absolutely preposterous five team trade.
That it's a lot going on. Props to you for staying on top of it the whole time. You and Shams and, anybody else you had in the mix? It was a lot. It was a lot to get through. And yeah, I mean, Yeah, I don't know where else you. I don't know. Well, I'll let you take the conversation from here. But yeah, it was a lot to get through, and the Wizards. It's interesting to try to figure out what they are now. But yeah, you good explanation there of everything that just happened.
All right, so Ben, what's your first reaction to this? They're bringing in Dinwiddie. We've discussed the Westbrook trade. I've discussed Westbrook trade on my free agency preview as well when I have Dave Dufour on, and you can still listen to that podcast. I think it's still relevant even though we're a couple of days into free agency. But Ben, what is your reaction to this? I mean, I think we both kind of figured this would come at some point. Good rule of thumb in the NBA is even when something is really complicated, if both sides want to get something done, and in this case that was the case, Dinwiddie wanted this done and the Wizards wanted it done, things just tend to, teams find a way to work it out. Players find a way to work it out. What's your reaction to Dinwiddie coming on the Wizards? They needed a point guard, and now they've got a reliable one.
I mean, you know, you just read off the whole sort of trade scenario. Like, when they had John Wall, we all said, you know, arguably the worst contract in the league. I remember at the time thinking, like, literally the only way they can get anything even remotely even out of this is to take on Westbrook. Like, it was down to just that situation. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, unless they just wanted to trade him for somebody else's, just, you know, total garbage. To go from that scenario to a year later where they trade Westbrook and essentially get all these guys. I mean, you know, they get Dinwiddie, they get Aaron Holiday, they get Kuzma, Caldwell Pope, Harrell, they get the kid with the 31st pick. Don't confuse what I'm about to say as suggesting the Wizards are going to compete with the Bucks and the Nets for the East, because of course not. But like, it's a pretty staggering accomplishment, I think, on some level. And I think Tommy Shepard should get a lot of credit for, like, the, you know, having some vision, some patience, and you know, playing the game. I mean, that was one thing that seemed to be problematic in the earlier, you know, in the Grunfeld era. Just, it's not even so much like they just made bad trades. It just felt like everything was sort of uber short-sighted and rushed and not maximizing everything on the edges. This is why I talk about things like the second round picks that you don't get any, all that stuff. Again, I don't think, you know, I don't necessarily know that they're any better than they were a minute ago in terms of their upside. They're deeper, but, you know, and all that. And we'll have to see where Dinwiddie's at with his coming off the ACL to say, like, what their ceiling is, I guess, at this point. And maybe there's even another move or two to make, because they do still have sort of a glut up front. But it's pretty remarkable that they were able to do all of this. And sometimes, you know, patience paid off. They you know, they waited for this thing. You know, it sounds like the Nets were wanting to drive a harder bargain, that they held firm, ultimately didn't give up anything really in that part of the trade. And, you know, look, I don't think any one of these guys is going to put the Wizards over the top, but it's a pretty interesting group. And just from the perspective of the operational aspect, here's what we have to work with. What can we do? How do we maximize this? I feel like they pretty much maximized it to the best they could, and I give them a big thumbs up for that. There's a big caveat to that, which we can get to in a minute with regarding the Bradley Beal. But in terms of this, if the goal was to keep Beal and do this other stuff, I mean, I kind of feel like they did about as well as they could have.
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you said. I think the other thing is, and this was something we talked about after the first iteration of the Westbrook trade, they got some flexibility now. They can do some stuff. You know, the roster is still imbalanced. That it really stands out to me when I look at it and I see, all right, you got Dinwiddie, you got Holloway, you got Holiday, and you got Beal, and those are your three guards. And you can say that KCP is a guard. That's fine. I mean, we can talk about him as a shooting guard. But if we talk about just like guard, wing, big as the three roles, as opposed to point guard, shooting guard, small forward, etc., KCP is a wing. And I think they're going to play him like a wing. I think KCP will get a lot of his minutes playing next to Beal in the starting lineup. I think he's the favorite. You know, who knows who's going to start at this point? I don't think you can lock in for sure who's starting. But,
well, by the way, just to use as a quick minor example, last year in the playoffs, last season, so not that long ago, we spent a lot of time arguing, should Garrison Matthews be playing? And the argument was, yeah, he probably should be. he's not even going to be, I mean, is he even going to be on the roster? And even if he is, he's not sniffing the court. I mean, unless he takes up a leap. Now, it's not a knock on him. It's that they've improved their depth that much.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. I mean, they've improved their depth that much. And what I was getting at was they've kind of transformed. It's like they had all of these small guys and no wings, and they had bigs too. They kind of had too many centers and too many smalls and not enough forwards. And they were like, okay, let's just go get a ton of them. So they drafted Kispert, and, you know, KCP, I think, is going to play on the wing for them, like I said, and they got Kuzma, and now they have all of these guys who kind of play forward, and they're not, a lot of them aren't quite wings, but they're forwards, and they play similar positions, and they're overlapping, and, you know, that's what I talk about with the imbalance, where they don't really have very much playmaking. I think Denny is going to be very important for them as a playmaker if the roster looks anything like this, because it's going to be massively important for them having somebody who can create. I still think bringing back Neto is going to be a possibility. You know, we'll see what they do with the bottom half of the roster. I still would not be surprised if they made another trade. I really wouldn't, because if they want to acquire a guard, even if they just want to just bring in Neto for the minimum, that's it, that's their move, they're in the tax. They're going to do something to get out of the tax. Now, you can get out of the tax in season, but it's a lot easier to get out of the tax in the offseason. So I think there are still possible trades that end up going down. You know, I don't know if that's going to be Kuzma, if that's going to be Harrell, if that's going to be Thomas Bryant, if that's going to be something bigger with the young guys. I mean, Brooklyn was asking for Avdija in the trade, and the Wizards said no real quick. I don't think that was anything they considered at all. I think the reason that Brooklyn was playing hardball was because they knew, and it had been reported, that Beal wanted Dinwiddie. And I think Brooklyn was sitting there in negotiations and saying, all right, well, Beal's got a year left. They want Dinwiddie. Let's see if the Wizards panic. Let's see if the Wizards say, oh God, we can't lose out on Dinwiddie. We don't want to piss off Brad going into an expiring year. We got to throw in Avdija. And the reason why they said Avdija was because the Wizards practically couldn't really trade a first round pick. There was no practical way for them to do it without getting OKC involved in the deal, because they have a 2023 pick in OKC where the protections go out too far to allow them to trade another thing or another first. So that's why Avdija came up in the negotiations. The Wizards didn't bite. I don't think there was ever a time where Avdija was in this deal. I don't think that was ever a thing. But I wonder if there is a deal with Avdija or Rui that makes them way better somewhere else on the roster. My point is not that they're going to trade one of those guys. If I had to bet, I would bet they don't, and I would bet a good amount of money that they don't trade either of those guys. My point is that, like, it used to be, and when I say used to be, I really mean last year, that if the Wizards were going to make a trade, it was either total fringe guys or there were specific guys who we pointed to on the roster. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, it's either like a total fringe move that, you know, they're going to try to catch lightning in the bottle, which is basically what the Gafford trade was. It just, they did catch lightning in the bottle. Or it was, all right, trade Beal and break it down. Now they kind of have all these other pieces with, I think Kuzma is a pretty nice player. I mean, Kuzma can defend on the perimeter. He's physical on the wings. He's a much, much better defender than he was when he first came into the league. He's much improved. He can create his own shot. He's a good enough shooter to where you have to guard him when he's away from the rim. He's not a great player, but he's a nice player who can help you win. KCP is a good player, helps you win, fits into every roster. You know, Harrell is someone, I think Harrell's value is way down. Maybe you could rehab it and bring it back. Gafford is somebody who I think teams want a lot. Rui is somebody who obviously has value. Denny is somebody who obviously has value. And so if you look at them potentially trying to upgrade other parts of their roster, there are some nice pieces there, and I don't think the fit with the overall roster is all the way there right now, but they have some moves, and I can't predict what those moves would be or if those moves will even come, but I think if they tried really hard to make a move that kind of brought them another skill, another something, I think they'd be able to find one, which as you just said, that's a new thing for the Wizards. You know, that's new for them.
100%. And you sort of just talked about sort of the incremental, like, you know, they go from here, they go from there, they make this move. And obviously, trading Westbrook is a pretty splashy scenario, so it's not the same as just sort of some minor stuff. And again, I'm not trying to like bring up the things I talk about, but as much as we joke about it, this is why I get really worked up about this stuff, because if you don't maximize your situation, you can't do these things. Like, look, Davis Bertan giving him that contract, and that's another interesting component of this, by the way. I don't even know if he's in the rotation right now, but we can get to that if we want. But, you know, that trade to get that guy, maybe they were paid too much money to the wrong guy, but it was by taking a second-round pick, keeping the player, using the asset, and you turn that into a guy that you thought was good enough to give that kind of money to. And now, in the same deal here, again, Westbrook and Wall is too big to just say it's an incremental move, but they didn't sit on their ass. They took John Wall. They said, we're going to give up a first-round pick to get Westbrook. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but Westbrook was obviously the healthier player at that point and a better player. They get him. He rehabs his reputation to a degree. He also gets 1 year knocked off his contract, which makes him more valuable to a team. They then make this other move. And now, like you said, they have this flexibility. They have this other stuff. And we'll see. I mean, I think if you look at the roster realistically, and you said to me, who's going to be the player they're going to trade? If we're talking about the main guys who have some value, I'd probably say almost everybody stays, with the exception of, like, I would put to in some order, Harrell, Kuzma, Thomas Bryant as, like, one of those three guys would seem to be the most sense. Nobody is untradeable. Obviously, it doesn't appear they're going to trade Beal. They just signed Dinwiddie. But, I mean, everybody could go. But that's the point now. Now they actually have options. This is what happens when you don't sign people to terrible contracts and you take advantage of all the scenarios that you have available to you. They did that here in multiple fronts, and that was the thing. They were just so ridiculously short-sighted for years and years and years. By the way, one thing I haven't mentioned is they've just traded away a truckload of second-round picks. We complained about that before because they were giving them away for no upside, for no reason. They just did it for guys like Trey Burke and other random pieces that were going to do them nothing. Here, it's part of a much bigger deal. And whatever, you know what I mean? Like, so it's not like, okay, sure, they now don't have a second-round pick. We complained about this before. I don't give a crap. They did it with purpose. There's reason to it. It's fine. But when you just give it away like it's Pez and just, just take candy and I don't really care, that's insane. They're not doing that now. And almost every move that Tommy Shepard's made since he's taken over, not all of them. I didn't love the Bertans contract. I said it at the time. And, you know, there's some other things. And I'm going to sort of sit here and we could get into this, why Bradley Beal is still on this team right now. But all that said, almost everything that they've actually done under Tommy Shepard, I've liked, because he is maximizing every scenario he can seemingly as best he can, and that's how you get better. Again, this is not close to the same thing as saying they're contending in the East. I would say right now, based on this roster, unless Rui or Denny has some big leap, their ceiling is probably like the sixth seed, which isn't good enough to get you a title, but that's different than saying they don't have options and they don't have outs. And maybe they now have enough stuff that if something breaks free with some other team, they're actually in a position now to take advantage of it.
Yeah, they were dumping second round. They were trading second round picks to dump Jason Smith. You know, that was why. And one of these second round picks, which is a good second round pick, the one they sent to the Spurs, that was obviously to dump Chandler Hutchison, but it's a different context. They were doing it solely just to dump Jason Smith because they had gone way into the tax and they had to get way out of the tax when they were really not good. And this they're doing preemptively in conjunction with a move that brings them in a lot of players. So it's a different context to that. So I'm with you. The reason you have second round picks, there are two reasons you have second round picks. Number one, potentially get a player. Number two, trade it for a player and get someone good. So, yeah, I'm with you. You know, we haven't really talked about Dinwiddie. Like, we haven't talked about, this is a basketball podcast, right? We haven't talked about basketball at all. It's an interesting basketball fit. It's not a perfect basketball fit. I mean, it's not perfect. He's not a three-point shooter. He can play off the ball, though. He'll move off the ball. He'll cut. He can play off the ball. He's good at getting to the rim, but he's not a shooter. He's not efficient as a scorer. He really props up his efficiency historically by getting to the line. But in terms of his shooting, he's not extremely efficient, but he's a big guard. He'll give him size in the backcourt. He's physical when he's going to the rim. Once he gets downhill, he's really good there once he gets into the paint. He can play next to Beal. He can play next to, let's say they bring back Neto. He can play next to Neto. He can play next to any point guard. If you put him in there, he can play the two next to a point guard, and it's completely fine, even if he's not a three-point shooter. I am curious to see what his chemistry is going to be like with Gafford. He's more of a guy, like he's not always necessarily looking for lob guys. He played with Jared Allen and would run pick and rolls with him, but he's not like a dominant pick and roll guy. But that's why he's a $20 million guy and not a max guy. He can score. He can get around the rim.
What a world we live in that you just casually say that's why he's a $20 million guy, as if like that's not the craziest. That's not the best money. What a
remember
world.
Remember anyway, when if you were $1 million man, you were good to go.
Like, I mean, this is 100 years ago and a reminder that I'm ancient. But like when Dave Winfield signed a contract with the Yankees and it was something like, I don't know, 20 years, 20 million. I was like, oh, my Magic Johnson, sort of the same thing. I was like, oh, my God, $1 million a year. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, he's good around the rim. He's good getting to the line. He's obviously a good player. They desperately needed a point guard. Beal wanted to play with him. It makes sense. It makes sense for them. I mean, to me, the biggest question mark is you kind of know what Dinwiddie is as a player at this point. The question mark is he's coming off an ACL tear. And,
yes.
And you know, ACL tears aren't what they used to be with modern medicine. You know, that's kind of what I keep having to remind myself with Thomas Bryant as well. They're not what they used to be. They're not automatic career enders. Guys can come back from ACL tears. And really the thing that scares you more than the ligament tear these days is something with a tendon, you know, an Achilles or something like that. Those are the things that can really diminish a guy's career more than an ACL. So, you know, I don't think the Wizards do this deal if they're at all worried about his medicals. And I've heard positive things about his medicals, which I assume is why he's, able to get this money without a blink of an eye, and why I think he was always going to get paid, and why even, you know, midway through the year, you hear rumbles of, well, the Nets want to try to get a sign and trade for Dinwiddie. So, they're not doing that if they think that he's, you know, the recovery is going to go poorly, because they're not going to get anything for him in a sign and trade if the recovery goes poorly. So I think that remains the biggest question mark, because it's still a serious injury. But, you know, the Wizards don't do this deal if they're horrified of that, you know?
I think it is fascinating that we're sort of just blowing off the knee issue, that's just good with that, you know, that we're just like, oh, you know, they gave him $20 million and all good, no biggie. It's interesting. And, you know, I mean, this goes again to the point of like, where are they, you know, overall, like for all the changes, for all the compliments we both just kind of gave them, you know, I don't know that their ceiling is any different. You can make the argument in the regular season it might be lower because Westbrook, you know, his greatest asset is he plays crazy hard all the time. We saw what that meant when he was healthy for this team late in the year. His issues become, you know, sort of in the bigger picture with playoffs, like, you know, what he's not proven to be a guy who's going to, you know, at this point going to take you places. But you know, they have more depth and all that stuff. So Dinwiddie's super interesting. I like him. He's a really smart guy.
Ben, well, I got you. I got to ask you about so Ted Leonsis had comments about Russell Westbrook during a Alex Ovechkin press conference, which, by the way, is, I mean, they it's bounced around the internet. You know, I know a lot of people have seen this quote. A lot of people have reacted to this quote. This was during a press conference about Alex Ovechkin's extension that he signed with the Capitals. And Leontis obviously owns both the Wizards and the Capitals. And he said, "We had a superstar player with the Wizards. He had an opportunity and wanted to be traded to the Lakers. And I was dealing with that as we were announcing Alex. I couldn't help but self-reflect on what a difference it is. Here's a great player in Russell Westbrook, played in OKC, wanted to be traded, went to Houston, wanted to be traded, came to DC, wanted to be traded, and is now in LA. He's an unbelievably great person and an unbelievably great player, but that's the difference between the NBA and NHL, I suppose." My first reaction when I saw it, aside from the fact that it sounds like a dog whistle, was, I can't believe that an NBA owner is commenting on a trade that's not official yet. Like, that kind of, that it's really breaking your protocols, man. Like, that is very unconventional. I can't remember another time that someone has done that. I talked about his, I talked about with Michael Lee in an episode a few weeks ago, his comments about hiring second year coaches second time coaches at Wes Unseld's, it was at Wes Unseld's introductory press conference. And he said that he thought that second time coaches or coaches on their second jobs didn't work as hard. And that's why he wanted a first time NBA head coach. And I said it had tones of high character and durable. And this one does too. It's just it is a weird theme that this just keeps coming from ownership after every player who leaves. It's very weird.
It is odd. I will just say this, and this is not in defense of Ted Leonsis, but this is just for what we do. You know, we all want people to say things, players, coaches, owners, whomever, right? It would be very boring if everybody went full Luke Lelouch, look it up, kids, if you don't know what that means, and just, you know, gave us cliches and all that, and we don't like that stuff. So it's a good thing, right, when people say things, and he's obviously has no issue saying some things at times. And I'm at the top of the pack when it comes to criticizing him for various things over the years, and I've done that over the last. I mean, I've gone on this podcast several times and made some comment of, you know, keep in mind the goal essentially is to make the playoffs, not win a title. And again, I want to talk about Bradley Beal, why he's still here before we hang up the phone, but or whatever device we're talking on. So all that said, yeah, I mean, look, it is, you know, it's. He does have a penchant for saying things when people are walking out the door. And, you know, look, Alex Ovechkin has been very, very good to Ted Leonsis, won him a title, made him a lot of money. They signed him to like a 12-year deal that just came up. It was one of the best deals that got to be in NHL history, I would imagine, considering the production and the popularity and all that stuff. So, you know, look, you know, there may be even something with the sports. I don't follow enough about hockey to know what's what. We know the NBA players are all about just kind of moving on and all that. But to that end, it is sort of like, you know, I don't know why you feel compelled to make that comparison. It's not the same thing at all. Russell Westbrook was more or less a hired gun here. Ovechkin has been your franchise player for, you know, a long time. Of course, it's going to, you know, the scenarios are different. Westbrook had minimal loyalty. And for what it's worth, Ted Leonsis has had no problem. I mean, he said nice things, as we hear about Westbrook as well. So he's a good guy and all that. But, you know, they were out there celebrating all the triple doubles and things like that. And, you know, taking advantage of that from a marketing perspective, as they should. So, you know, I would just say, let it go, move on. But at the same time, you know, it is a good thing for us when these people say things.
Yeah, I'm with you. And for the most part, I actually try to be very conscious of when somebody actually has a moment of honesty, then, you know, give them, cut them slack when they have moments of honesty. Because what we want when we ask a question is not to hear the caged answer. We want to hear the actual answer. And that's great. This seemed like more of a moment of passion, a moment of passive aggressiveness than a moment of honesty. And it's a moment of dishonesty with himself, to be honest, because that's not a life principle that he lives by. Because I mean, he just traded John Wall 8 months prior, when John Wall didn't want to go anywhere, which he had every right to do. When everybody said the Wizards did John Wall dirty, I didn't think they did him dirty. You know, John was upset about it, and he had every right to be upset. But that doesn't mean that they did him dirty. Now there are certain ways in terms of lack of communication. You know, John said that he was lied to. That's not what I'm talking about. I am just talking about specifically the fact that they traded him. There's nothing wrong with that. It's part of the business. John hadn't played in 2 years. It's fine to trade a guy in that scenario if you feel like it makes your team better. And I said at the time, and I say it now, I think the principal reason that trade was made was because they had an opportunity to get Russell Westbrook, and they thought Russell Westbrook was going to help them win more games in the 2020-21 season than John Wall would. And that was the number one reason why they made the deal. But that being said, John wanted to stay, had pledged his loyalty to the organization, wanted to retire a Wizard, and Ted Leonsis traded him anyway and didn't give him a huge heads up about it. That's just the other side of the same coin to me. So I think there's hypocrisy there. And quite honestly, it's just like earning a reputation for knocking guys as they leave. It's not going to help. It's not going to help you bring guys in. It's not a good reputation to have. It is not a reputation that you want to have. You know, something that I'm always conscious about as a media member is there are certain times in sports where you see somebody leave town, and then as soon as they leave, whether because they got traded, they left as a free agent, you know, someone got fired, whatever, all these reports come out. Oh, so-and-so was doing this. All these, you know, stories come out, and these nefarious stories that knock the guy and throw them under the bus after that person leaves, right? You know, that happens all the time, and it's kind of a media trend that you see a lot of times. I'm always very conscious of not wanting to fall into that. Sometimes you even hear a story, and you're like, oh, maybe that's something to write, and then you're like, I'm just falling into that trend. If it's not newsworthy, your responsibility is to tell the news, and if you're just throwing it out there for gossip's sake or because it's juicy or something like that, it's like there's this weird tradition in sports of throwing somebody under the bus after they're already out. And I've always disliked that. If it's newsworthy, it's newsworthy, then you do it. But if it's just people saying rude things, you hear reports, oh, this person wasn't liked by 38% of the front office, and that's why. It's like, okay, well, that's not newsworthy. And it's just, I don't like this thing that happens in sports. So this person's out, so throw them under the bus. And I find that sort of tone, I find it a turnoff, and I find it unnecessary. So I saw that, and I wanted to talk about it. I had to get that off my chest. Wait, Ben, what's your Beal thing?
Well, I mean, I guess it's simply this, you know, I give a lot of credit to Tommy Shepard for the moves that he made. I point out to everybody I know, whether we're talking about this team or any team in sports, but when you criticize the general manager, you need to very carefully consider what orders are being sent down from higher up. Everybody has a boss, and within that you have parameters of what your job is. And maybe the parameters are do whatever you want, or maybe they are very tight. Don't spend this, don't do that, do, you know, whatever it may be. It is when I talk about the idea of like what's the goal with this franchise, you know, making the playoffs or winning a title, and it's pretty clear, you know, the goal is essentially just to get in and then, you know, whatever. This is a good example of that. I've said for a long time, I think you generally agreed with me that, you know, well, I don't know on this point, like as long as John Wall or Westbrook were on the team, you needed to keep Beal, because to trade Beal for a lot of stuff, even if, I mean, you know, relative, depending on what the package is, to then leave Westbrook or Wall with these kids, I just don't think would have worked for a variety of reasons. And look, I've advocated for keeping Bradley Beal, excellent player, you know, good in the locker room, all these kinds of things. He's still ascending, you know, he's all NBA this year and all that. But there's a dip, but Bradley Beal is not one of those guys in this league who is going to be the best player on a title team. You know, Kevin Durant almost beat the Bucks without Kyrie and a limited James Harden, you know, because he is that good, right? There's a different, that guy you don't trade. But the fact that they were able to get rid of Westbrook and do it in a positive way, not taking on any bad money, not having to give up more picks, they actually got one back, is the then perfect opportunity to look yourself in the mirror and say, what are we doing? Are we going for a title, or do we, I mean, or do we want to, you know, if you want to go for the title, and either, you know, if that's in the brain, then you actually actually trade Bradley Beal. Because the reality is that if you tell me Rui or Denny or somebody has some big leap, okay, but I mean, I'm not seeing that. So if that's not the case, the Wizards' ceiling is sort of the sixth seed, and you're stuck in that middle spot. But if you trade Bradley Beal, forget the Dinwiddie part of this. If you trade Bradley Beal after the Lakers trade, the Westbrook trade, you get back a lot of stuff. Now you're actually in a much better position for the long haul in an attempt to possibly win a title. You have flexibility, more picks. I don't want to pick, say, the Golden State, you know, Wiseman in the 7 and the 14 or whatever, because that's what we all said. But whatever thing you want to say, that now you're going down, and this is how you then come back up and potentially go all the way up. In this sport, you have to be either a ridiculously attractive place that players want to go, L.A., Miami, or you have to kind of go through this lottery hell, get these picks, and go from there. The most success this place had in, you know, the last 20 years was having the first pick with Wall, the third pick with Beal, the third pick with Otto Porter, and that helped them get them to within one game of the Eastern Conference Finals and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you see this more often than not, but they didn't do that. And I'm not saying I'm stunned that they didn't do that, because I didn't really think that they would. I'm just saying I didn't think they'd be able to trade Westbrook and get the package they did, unless it meant they were going to trade Beal, you know, initially. And I guess I just, like, shouldn't they have? I mean, I want to know how much did they actually consider trading Beal. I'm guessing they didn't, because of the reasons I've stated here and before. And I think that's, again, I'm not advocating trading Beal like you have to get rid of him because he stinks. It's the opposite. He's really good, but only to a point. And where are things going here? They're not competing with the Bucks. They're not competing with the Nets. And, you know, and it's not just this year. It's seemingly going forward. And I just think they had an opportunity to actually really start over. They didn't just – if you had Westbrook and Wall, you didn't have a chance to start over. When you got rid of all that, you did, and they didn't choose to do it. And, you know, we'll see.
Where do you think they are in the East right now? Let's assume – let's say they – for the sake of it, let's say they bring back Neto and they make some – move on the edge of the roster to get under the tax. And this is, for the most part, this is their team. Where are they for you?
I don't have the standings in front of me, but you can correct me here. Obviously, the Nets.
Here, you want me to name them?
Well, I mean, I'll just go through real quick. The Nets and the Bucks are obviously, you know, we can debate who's better, but they're going to be viewed as the top of the list. The Sixers, you know, I guess, but there's still a chance something could happen with Simmons, but they're sort of somewhere in that scenario then after
that. If they trade Simmons, it's not to get worse. So they're up there. That's three.
Right, right. So the Hawks obviously just made a big run. They kept John Collins today. It doesn't seem like they're going to be falling off. I don't necessarily love what the Knicks did in free agency and all that, but at the same time, they didn't get worse, and Tom Thibodeau, the way he coaches, I don't think they're going to slide off.
Ben, I'm going to cut you off. We've got breaking news.
Oh, boy.
Courtesy of our colleague, Shams Charania, free agent guard Howell Neto has agreed to a deal to return to the Washington Wizards, sources tell The Athletic.
Now I rescind everything I just said.
Hey, I said with the condition they bring back Neto.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a totally solid move. They really didn't. I mean, Aaron Holiday is not really a point guard. They kind of needed to get somebody else, and Neto was totally solid. We talked about it. There were, I mean, on a pound for pound level, he was as good of a player as they had other than Beal, you know, consistently over the course of last season. So, you know, and like you said, presumably it's not going to be for much money. So, good move.
Yeah. I don't know what the money is going to be, but yeah. Okay. So we've got, you were talking about the Knicks. You think they're better or worse than the Knicks? And by the way, the Neto move is, he had a really good year last year. They loved him. He's a reliable defender. I said a million times he was like one of their three most consistent players this year. He was arguably their second most consistent player. Not their second best player, but their second most consistent player next to Beal. I mean, you knew what you were getting out of him. He was going to make 38 to 40% of his threes. He was going to play hard on defense and just kind of be annoying there, and he was going to make the right play. I mean, that's a good move. Expected move. I figured they were going to bring him back. They loved him this year. All right. So Knicks, we got four teams so far. You got Sixers, Nets, Bucks, Hawks. Where are you at with the Knicks? I mean, I think the Knicks will be better this year. They got Kemba now.
Yeah. I mean, my only question is, like, is Julius Randle, like, does he have that season in him again? Obviously he wasn't very good in the playoffs, relatively speaking, but just in general, I think the Knicks, they were better than the Wizards this year, and I know the Wizards had some crazy year, but regardless, they were better than the Wizards this year. I don't see why they would definitively be worse. Now maybe is where I start needing some of your help. I mean, the Bulls obviously just made a big moves.
Miami's Ball. Up there.
Oh, right. Sorry. Miami. Yes, of course. Miami. I mean, just they're Miami, and then they add Kyle Lowry to that group. So.
Yeah. I didn't like the Knicks offseason. Like, I didn't like the Noel contract. Yeah, I wasn't in love with the Burks contract. I didn't hate any of them. I didn't love them. I wasn't in love with the Burks contract. I wasn't in love with the Fournier contract. But you know, getting Kemba at the price that they got him is really team friendly, even with his injury history. I mean, that's a really, really low risk, really a high reward signing. And I think ultimately that's going to keep them where they were last year. Maybe they'll be a little better. I mean, that wouldn't be shocking. Kemba, if Kemba's healthy, I mean, Kemba was making $36 million a year. When you're making $36 million a year at his production, you're not matching your contract. $8 million a year? Now all of a sudden you he has to be just a fraction of himself to match that contract. Miami obviously got a lot better. They got Kyle Lowry, and they went 40-32 last year, and then they brought in Kyle Lowry and PJ Tucker, and they re-signed Duncan Robinson. How about Boston?
Well, I mean, so Boston's interesting, right? I mean, Brad Stevens is not the coach now, so, you know, that was always a big factor for me when I would view them, and I'm not discounting the new coach. He's just a first-time coach. Brad Stevens is running the GM or running the front office. You know, look, they still have Tatum. They still have Brown. I think it kind of feels like there's going to be, you know, the what else are they doing? But, I mean, I would say they're ahead of the Wizards, but at the same time, a little more variable there at this point than before. So kind of a little more up in the air, but I'd probably say ahead of the Wizards.
Okay, me too. You know where we are now?
I mean, that's 17, right?
We are at
right?
the Wizards' sweet, sweet, comfy living room home. We are at the 8th seed.
Right, and then you have Indiana, right? Indiana and the Wizards had the same record last year, but the Indiana, and again, I know the Wizards had a lot going on, but the Pacers had, you know, TJ Warren was out, Miles Turner was out. I've lost track, to be honest, of what exactly they've been doing here, but like I suspect that, I mean, I guess that we'll see where they're with what Malcolm Brogdon's health is, but I don't necessarily know the Pacers are definitely better than the Wizards, but like it's not inconceivable that they're better than the Wizards.
Yeah, the Bulls brought in Lonzo Ball. They brought in DeMar DeRozan. A lot of people despise the DeRozan fit. I don't despise the DeRozan fit. I kind of think it makes sense. I think they're going to be a disaster defensively. They brought in Alex Caruso. That will help with the defense. Ball is a good defender. He'll help with the defense too. But having DeRozan and LaVine and Vucevic on the floor together is not going to be great, but you get development from Patrick Williams, who had a really good rookie year, showed a lot of promise. Chicago's going to be right in that mix. When we're talking play-in tournament. You know, Toronto could be in the mix. I guess they're probably not going to keep Dragic, so I'll drop them a little lower. You know, Charlotte, right. What if LaMelo shows up and is an all-star?
Right. So, I mean, without getting into, I mean, it's your show that we can do whatever we want, but like at this point already, if we're saying there are seven teams ahead of them and they're in the mix with Indiana, Charlotte, Chicago, and who's to say any or all of those teams aren't better than the Wizards, this is my point. What are we doing? What's the point? Again, I was advocating keeping Beal in the previous scenarios, but I don't know what's the upside here. Again, if Hachimura or somebody has some big leap, well, then that's the good stuff. Maybe Kuzma getting away from that, from the Lakers situation where obviously LeBron is LeBron and there's a lot that goes on with that for better or for worse. Maybe this is a deal where Kuzma flourishes and looks like the guy when he came into the league that people thought, oh boy, this is really exciting. I'm not discounting that, but everybody has some of these scenarios. That's what we're talking. I mean, you're right. I mean, the Bulls could suddenly, Zach LaVine could go up a notch now that DeRozan is there to take some pressure off of him. And, you know, I mean, Miami, we just talked about added Kyle Lowry and, you know, Jason Tatum keeps getting better. So, like, I don't know where, I mean, I don't know. I guess this isn't going to be my new thing on some level. Hopefully I'll stop, you know, I won't be bore everybody with it all the time. But, like, I think that's, like, on some level. And once the dust is settled and we can praise the Wizards and they're interesting and all that, I guess I don't know why Bradley Beal is still on this team. If the goal is to really win a title, I guess I don't know why he's still here.
Well, look, if you want to keep him, you got to – you can't just fall off completely. You got to remain competitive. Like you got to, and when I say remain competitive, I mean like your intention has to be good. You can't completely fall off. And I mean, I'm fine with, if you want to trade Beal for really good stuff, then you do that. But those days are behind you now. I mean, now you're committed to holding on.
Yeah, sure.
It's past the draft. So it's past the other stuff. You're committed to holding on to him.
Well, let me ask you this, because I don't ever put you on the spot, and you're not that kind of guy, but we'll see what I can do here, people. The people want to know. At the moment you know you're trading Westbrook, would you have traded? I mean, again, I know we don't know the deal. Would you have at that point aggressively looked to trade Bradley Beal, or are you fine with him staying?
Yeah, I would have. You want to tell me? I would have aggressively looked to trade him, yeah. For this exact reason, because it's just kind of, what are you doing? You're fighting for the play-in tournament again. So, yeah. I mean, look, for all the stuff that we talked about of good return on the Westbrook deal, and it was, and now the return is Dinwiddie on a 3-year deal, it's Kuzma, it's Harrell, it's KCP, it's Isaiah Todd, or the rights to Isaiah Todd. It's, you know, you give up Westbrook, you give up a bunch of second round picks, you give up Chandler Hutchison, you know, whatever. As much as we talk about, that's a good return. And it is from a value standpoint. And it is from a flexibility standpoint. And it is from a future of your team, you know, roster construction standpoint. Russell Westbrook won you a lot of games last year. I mean, he, after a really bad first 2 months of the season, had a really good last couple of months of the season. And you're losing one of the better point guards in the league. I mean, that's part of this too. And when you lose one of the better point guards in the league, it's really hard to maintain. It's really hard to maintain where you were the year before, and where you were the year before was not all that high to begin with. It was 34-38 in the 8th seed and losing in 5 games in round 1. So when Westbrook goes, I think that's a natural turn. But that's not the position that they're in. They want to keep Beal. And I don't know if that's wrong or right. I think they've done a clever job building a team around what Beal would be. And they're just crossing their fingers and hoping that he stays. I think getting that fifth year is very important to Beal, which he could sign in free agency in 2022. And only the Wizards can offer that fifth year. And by the way, a big thing for Beal, his next year's salary cap was supposed to be $115 million. Now it's supposed to be $119 million, which means that his max, which was projected at 5 years, $235 million, that was the contract the Wizards could offer him under the old projected max. Now, if he becomes a free agent, when he becomes a free agent in 2022, The Wizards can offer him 5 years, $241 million. $55 million player option on the fifth year. If they give him, you know, all the bells and whistles that you would get in the max, you know, max franchise player contract, if they give him the player option. That last year, $55 million. So I think he wants that. You know, if he signs with another team, they could offer him like 4 years, 170 something. That's,
yeah.
Or maybe 4 years, 180 something. I haven't done all that math.
And like, let me be clear. Like look, the last year and change, and we talked about this in the podcast, and everybody's running around saying Beal definitely wants out of here and all that. And I'm like, I don't know why people keep saying that. He's never said that. And like, just because other athletes say they want to run away when their team starts to get bad doesn't mean they all do. Paul Pierce stuck around in Boston, and obviously, you know, whatever the circumstances may be a little bit different, but eventually they got Garnett now, and you know, ended up winning a title, and Paul Pierce's legend went up a notch. And maybe there's a world where that happens here with the Wizards. Not saying it's completely impossible, but it's highly unlikely based on everything we know about the NBA and the current circumstances. So if he wants to stay and all that, cool. Obviously the money is going to make potentially not winning a title, if it plays out that way, a little bit easier, I would think. So, you know, there's all that stuff. And, you know, if the Wizard, you know, Ted Leonsis famously said a few years ago, we will never tank. And if you trade Bradley Beal, you are effectively going down. The problem is the tank word is so toxic. Again, you didn't get Wall and Beal and Otto and Vesely, at least the picks to get those guys by not. I mean, they lost a lot of games. You don't want to call it tanking. You don't want to put a label on it the way the Sixers did because they were into the marketing aspect of this. Fine. But it's still the same thing. This is how this works, right? The Phoenix Suns just got back. They were in a position to get Chris Paul because they were bad enough to get guys like DeAndre Ayton, and they did some other good things, and that's how it goes. So, you know, whatever. It is what it is. I mean, I hope it works out for everybody involved. God bless everybody. And by the way, I will just say this. When I said before about Tommy Shepard doing a really good job, this is part of what I'm saying. I don't know what he wanted to do. We'll see. Maybe we'll never know. I don't know if he wanted to trade Bradley Beal or not. I mean, he loves Bradley Beal. He was here when they brought him in. I'm sure all that stuff. But at the same time, based on everything else Tommy Shepard does, he seems to understand how this world works. And I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he wanted to keep him. And again, I advocate for Bradley Beal as a player I want on my team who's going to help me win games. I just don't know what the upside here is. And, you know. Look, what am I complaining about? They got Usef Sanan back on the summer league team. I mean, we're good. I should stop my kvetching.
That is the perfect place to wrap. Ben, you got anything? I mean, you're down at training camp for the football team right now. You got anything to plug before we finish up?
Just if you're into the football team, I've basically been writing almost every day at training camp. So you can go check that over on The Athletic. You know, I've got my own podcast, The Standard Room, only talking a lot about the football team. I'll probably dabble in some Wizards because you haven't heard me talk about that enough here. Other than that, you know, that's whoever been controlling the temperature outside these last few days in D.C., God love you. Keep it up. Let's keep going with these, like, chill days.
Yes, for sure. Let's. Subscribe to The Athletic. You can read Ben's work. You can read my work. I'm going to have stuff up on Dinwiddie for Thursday morning, no question. Probably super late night tonight. You can check out my previous work. You can check out my story on kind of all the possibilities from the sign-and-trade, which I think is interesting. Now that the sign-and-trade is complete, honestly, to go back and read just how ridiculously complicated this entire scenario had to be. So go check that out. And if you're not a subscriber to The Athletic, you can subscribe to The Athletic. If you just go, we're doing a deal right now. I believe it will be still on by the time this podcast posts. 50% off on an annual subscription if you just go to theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark. And you can sign up there. 50% off, like I said, on an annual subscription to The Athletic. I hope that deal is still running by the time this posts. It's 50% off on an annual subscription just at theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark. And that gets you everything, not just Wizard stuff, but everything that you could possibly need. Subscribe to Wizards After Dark. Tell your friends about Wizards After Dark. Go give Wizards After Dark 5 stars. Leave a review of Wizards After Dark. The written reviews of the podcast are always super helpful. This was the impact move. This was the emergency podcast of the week. I guess it's possible if something crazy happens, I'll be podcasting again later this week, but chances are I'll be back next week with a new episode. I'll talk to you guys then.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.